All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans, chapter 4. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad to have you. And I met the Duncans back here. Good to have you guys today. They are neighbors to the Lindsays, and so good to have them with us today. And if you are a guest in our church today, I hope you feel right at home and welcome, because you are. This is the Church of the Open Door, all right? Not closed door, open door. And what did the newspaper say we were? The Church of the Closed Mind. That's what they said one time. Church of the Closed Mind. Guilty. All right, Romans 4, let's look, please, at verse 1, and you follow along as I read. There is a Bible in the hymn rack right there in front of you if you need one, so be sure to follow along as I read. In verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works," so if Abraham was saved by his works, then Paul said, "He hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Why not? Because you can't work your way to heaven. That's why. All right. So that's, works are not going to work. Look at verse 3. "For what saith the Scripture?" Now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Because you see, it's what the Bible says, not what I say, or not what another pastor says, or some priest or some theologian. No, it's what saith the Scripture. And here's what the Scripture saith. Abraham, what's the next word? Believed. Abraham believed God. He believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So in other words, you're never going to be able to pay the sin debt yourself. It's too much. It would take you all of eternity in hell to pay the wages of sin. What is the wages of sin? Death. So it would take you all of eternity in hell paying a debt that you're never going to get paid off. I remember years ago when interest rates were through the roof, and I don't remember how it happened. I don't know what we did, but somehow or another, we had a credit card and it had 22% interest. And I sat down and looked at that, and I started doing the numbers on it, and I thought, good grief, I'm going to be 170 years old before we get this paid off. And that's pretty much the way it works, isn't it? You're always just spending your money on the interest. And that's the way it is here with this sin debt. You're going to spend all of eternity paying for it, and yet you're never going to get it paid off. That's a sobering thought, is it not? All right, now read on one more verse. It says in verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." All right, so his faith. When you believe, your faith in God is counted to you for righteousness. Now look at verse 8, and I'll stop reading. Look at verse 8. It says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed. Blessed, happy, full of rejoicing is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. All right, let's pray. And I'll give you my title in just a few minutes here. But let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will bless the preaching of the Word of God. We are so thankful that we have a Bible, that we can do as Paul did here and ask the question, what saith the Scripture? And so, Father, I ask you to help us this morning to see what and understand what the Bible has to say. And I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach. Father, I also pray that you will help our folks as they listen. Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit so that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Guide and direct now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about how it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, if you have to die, and you do, by the way, because it's appointed unto man once to die, I don't know if you've ever just sat down and thought about it, but everybody that you have known, everybody that you have known, somewhere eventually dies. I can look back at my family. I can see my dad's siblings in my mind's eye, and they're all gone. They're all gone. I can see several of my family on my mother's side that lived in Indiana, and they're all gone. They died. Why is that? That is because the wages of sin is death. Now, if all of us have to die, and when we die, either go to heaven or to hell, it just makes sense to me that a person should want to go to heaven. Doesn't it, you? I mean, I've said this for years I've said this, and it's still true. I've never met anybody who wanted to go to hell. I've never met anybody. Nobody has ever bounced up to me with a big old smile on their face and said, "Hey, preacher, guess what? What? Well, I want to go to hell when I die." Nobody's ever said that to me. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? You do. I do. But don't you think it's ridiculous that we have to persuade people? We have to talk people into going to heaven. That just should not be. People ought to be beating the door down to get in here to hear from the Bible how to get to heaven. Or at least one would think that that's what we would be doing, but it's not the case, is it? Strange how that works. It ought to be that everyone who knows they're going to die would have enough sense to want to go to heaven when their time to die eventually comes. And so I want every single one of you to listen very carefully this morning. And if you are here today and not 100% sure that you are on your way to heaven, I hope with all my heart, I pray with all my heart that you will be sure before you leave here this morning. Now look at verse 8 again. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed. All right, now, with that thought, with that verse in mind, I want you to go over to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Man, I like hearing those pages turn. That's better than snoring any day. Amen. Yes, indeed. All right, 23, Luke 23, look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. It says, and you know this story, and one of the malefactors, that means a bad doer. Mal means bad, factors means to do. One of the bad deed doers, if you will, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, make sure you catch that. This man hath done nothing amiss. I'm amazed at the many times that the Holy Spirit of God went to great lengths when Jesus was on the cross to explain to us, and it's recorded in the Bible, that the Lord Jesus was on that cross not because he did anything wrong. You say, well, then why was he on the cross? Because of us. He was on the cross paying the wages of sin, which is what now? For us. Okay? So, pick it up again. It says in verse 42 now, it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, let's stop right there. And remember the verse in Romans. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I dare say that every one of us has heard about these two thieves that were crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus. We have all heard this story. We've read it in the Bible. I've preached from it several times through the years. We show it every year in the Living Cross. And I'm sure everybody is familiar with this man. He was a criminal, folks. He was a criminal. We don't know exactly what this man did in order to get arrested and or what his charge was, but we know this, it was so bad, his charge, he was guilty of such a severe a deed that he was being executed for the deed that he committed. So here he is now, he is being crucified for his sin. He is sentenced to die. Sentenced to die. But I want you to notice verse 43. The Lord Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What an amazing statement that is. Here's a criminal, folks. Who knows what he did? I don't know what he did. The Bible does not tell us. Luke did not tell us what the man did. But what happened here is in the Bible for a reason, and the Holy Spirit of God put it there so that you and I would realize that just in the nick of time, this man, this criminal, who was dying just a couple of hours, he's going to be dead. He is, his soul in just a couple of hours is going to go out into eternity. Think about that. And yet, he got saved. At the last minute, but he got saved. Now, the question that I want to ask this morning and hopefully answer is this. What did this criminal do to get saved from hell so he could go to heaven? That's the question. What did this criminal do in order to get saved from hell so that he could go to heaven? Because, you see, whatever he did, it would stand to reason that whatever he did is what we need to do, right? Whatever this man did to escape hell is certainly what we ought to do if we want to escape hell. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So whatever he did, it got him out of hell and into heaven. And we need to do what he did. All right, so I want you to look at this fella, and I want you to see if we can figure out what he did. We're going to kind of, by process of elimination, we're going to find out what this guy did. Now, the first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to notice with me what this man did not do. What he did not do. Now hang on, because I'm going to shatter some of men's interpretation of the scriptures. All right? I guarantee you that there's going to be some folks that will sit here and say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought that was how you get to heaven." No. No. We're going to go by what the scripture says. But first of all, let's see what this man did not do. Before we look at what he did, let's look at what he did not do. Now, it's important that you remember who he is, where he is, and what he is. He's a criminal. He is on a cross, and in just a few hours, he is going to die, go out into eternity. That's his fate. Now, first of all, what did he not do? Well, first, he did not do any good deeds to get to heaven. Folks, he can't. He's nailed to a cross. There's no way that he can do anything. I mean, if a homeless person walked by and asked for some change, he can't give it to him. He can't do it. He doesn't have any money. They took it from him. He doesn't have a pocket. You see, they stripped them naked in shame to embarrass them when they crucified them. And he could not lift a finger to do even one good deed for someone else. Secondly, he did not visit a church. He never joined a church. He never even stepped one foot into a church. Think about that. He said, "Well, I'm going to go to church." Well, that's good. I'm glad you do. And I hope wherever you go to church, you hear how you can get out of hell and into heaven. I really hope you can you go to a church where you hear that. Now, don't forget his situation. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a common thug. He is on the cross and he's dying. Folks, what I'm saying to you is he could not go to church. He's nailed to a cross. He could not say, Mr. Roman centurion, excuse me, but I'm going to be dead in just a couple of hours, and I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to hell, so would you come and just push these nails out and take the nails out of my feet that are holding me fast to this cross, and then clean me up a little bit and throw some clothes on me and have someone drive me to church so I can get saved. No, he can't do that. He cannot do that. He's nailed to a cross. This is one of the biggest misconceptions out there today. We'll say to somebody, sir, let me ask you a question, or ma'am, let me ask you a question. If something were to happen to you and you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And here's the answer. Well, I sure hope I would. And then you would say, well, what are you basing your hope upon? And then they'll smile and say, well, you know, I'm a Baptist. All right, now I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but whoop-de-doo. Oh, well, I'm a Methodist. My family have been Methodist all the way back to my great-great-great-grandfather. And again, whoop-de-doo. So what? Does the Bible say that being a Methodist is how to get to heaven? Nowhere. I've read the Bible through several times, and it's not in there. If it was in there, I'd remember that. I can't remember too much anymore, but I would remember that, I guarantee you. But it's not there. Folks, I love the Church of the Open Door. I think that the Church of the Open Door is the greatest church in America. But I will be the first one to tell you that the Church of the Open Door cannot save anyone. This man only has a few hours left, and then he is either going to be sent to heaven or he's going to be sent to hell for all eternity. And what we learn in the Bible is that when this man died, he went to heaven. But I want you to notice that it was not because he went to church, and it's not because he was baptized. He wasn't baptized. It's not because he took confirmation classes or that he took communion. It's not that he took catechism classes. It's not that he sang in the choir or that he played an instrument in the orchestra. None of these things is the reason why this fellow went to heaven when he died. None of it. Say amen. You with me on that? Second thing I want you to notice. Right, we saw what he did not do, but now let's see what he did do. What did he do? If he was totally unable to do anything to merit heaven, and yet went there when he died, my question is, how in the world did he get there? All right? Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, look at me and listen very carefully. This man got there the only way anybody has ever gotten there or ever will get there. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, look at your Bible. Look at verse 42. Look at verse 42. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. What is that? That's faith. He is asking the Lord to take him to heaven. It's just that simple, folks. And he got there the only way anybody will ever get there. He put his faith and trust for salvation, not in himself, not in the church, not in his works, not in his giving, not in his personality, not in his heritage. He put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember me. You see, he had evidently somewhere along the way, heard what the Lord Jesus said about heaven. I don't know if this man heard Jesus preach one day, one of his wonderful sermons. I don't know if this man saw one of the miracles that Jesus performed. Maybe he was up on the banks of the Sea of Galilee when the Lord Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 little fishes and blessed it and multiplied it and fed thousands of people with it. I don't know. But it kind of seems to me like he knew a little bit about the Lord. And he trusted, he believed that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Now, I want you to notice this. In just the nick of time, this man trusted in Jesus as his Savior. And he went to heaven just in the nick of time. Isn't that wonderful? I've had through the years a few folks, not many, but a few, that were on their deathbed and they weren't saved. And I have a few of them where I went in and sat by their bedside and took them by the hand. I remember this one fella, I told him point blank, I said, look, man, you're dying. 20 minutes from now, you may not be here. And when I said that, he looked up at me. I couldn't get him to listen to a thing I said previous. But when I said, you're dying and there is a good possibility you're not going to make it in the next 20 minutes. And he rolled his eyes and looked at me. And I said, now I'm going to tell you one more time. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior, I have a clear conscience that I tried my best to get you into heaven. Well, he didn't take his eyes off me then. He knew he was dying. And I went through the plan of salvation very quickly with him. And when I said, are you ready to pray? He said, yes, I am. And he prayed. And it was just about 2 or 3 hours later when he passed away. As a matter of fact, I was still sitting there holding his hand when it went limp. You see, you don't have a guarantee for tomorrow. You don't know what another day brings forth. What is your life? James said, it's but a vapor that appeareth and then vanisheth. Just like that. Just like that. How many of you folks in your 60s and in your 70s and in your 80s, maybe in your 90s, how many of you have recently thought, wow, how in the world did I get so old so fast? I mean, think about it. You just graduated high school a couple years ago. And now here you are knocking on death's door. We all are. You say, you're picking on me. No, I'm picking on all of us. Picking on myself. I don't have a guarantee for tomorrow. Folks, here's the bottom line. In the nick of time, he got saved. Now, listen to me, dear friend. This man realized what he needed to do. And when he realized what he needed to do, he called upon Jesus, God's Son, and God's Son at that moment, think about it, God's Son at that moment was paying that thief's sin debt. That's a sobering thought right there. In verse 41, the other thief, he said to the other thief, this man hath done nothing amiss. If Jesus was dying for his own sin, then he wouldn't have said that. But he knew that the Son of God had no sin. He is not dying for his own sin. He was dying for the thief on either side of him. He was dying for you, even though you and I weren't even born yet. And here's the bottom line, folks. Somebody has to pay your sin debt. Somebody has to do it. Either you're going to do it when you die in hell for eternity, or you can call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord will pay your sin penalty. And what happened to him? Well, here's what happened. Man got saved. Here's Paul's description. Go back to Romans again, chapter 4. Go back to the book of Romans, chapter 4. So how did a man get saved? He put his faith and trust in the Lord. Look at verse 5 of chapter 4. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, God does not impute sin to you. He imputes your sin to Jesus. And Jesus pays your sin debt. Here it is, folks. This thief got saved because he trusted in what the Lord Jesus did for him on the cross. And the only way that you and I are going to get to heaven is to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to accept Christ as our Savior, and by accepting Him, He pays our sin debt. There's no other way, folks. And this thief on the cross proved it for us. He proved it for us. Why do you think that that story is even in your Bible? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit of God wants you, He wants me, He wants all of us to know that we serve a forgiving God. And if you will come to Him by faith, realizing you cannot save yourself, it's impossible for you to save yourself, but you're going to trust Jesus who died for you. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. That's what the man did, folks. Now, you must spend eternity somewhere. We all are. We all have to spend eternity somewhere. And look at me, folks. I can tell you right now, you do not want to go to hell. You do not. I don't know how else to say that to you. But you just do not want to go there. If you dilly-dally around with your soul's salvation, and it comes to the time when you go from here to eternity, you're going to leave here, and the next second, you're going to be in hell. And the first words out of your mouth are going to be, oh no. But sadly, it'll be too late. You say, well, what do I do? You trust the Lord Jesus today. That's what you do. I mean, just exactly like this thief on the cross did. You believe on him today. Not me, not the church, but you believe on Christ. He is the only way. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you trust Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment. And I want to ask you this simple little question. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if Christ, the Lord Jesus, will receive you just as you are right now, a sinner in need of a Savior. If the Lord Jesus will receive you just as you are, will you receive Him just as He is? Think about that. I'm not asking you to receive me. I'm not asking you to accept me. I'm asking you to receive the Savior. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask this question. How many of you here today would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There's absolutely no doubt about it. If I die right now, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. My faith is in the Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven. Not I hope so, or maybe, or well, I think so. No, do you know? And if you know that you're going to heaven, I want you to lift your hand very, very softly, very all around the building. Just lift your hand and hold it up. Pastor, I know that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Well, that looked like everybody. But you know, I could have missed someone. So let me ask this. Anybody say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul, and I wish you'd pray for me. I need the Lord. Would you lift your hand and hold it up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me. Anybody? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our needs today. And better than we know ourselves, you know us. And so I pray that you will speak to our hearts. If there is anyone in this room or anyone listening today by internet, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. Father, may they bow their heads right where they are and pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and to forgive them of their sin. Just like this thief did on the cross, he trusted the Lord Jesus just in the nick of time. And so, Father, I pray you'll help somebody who needs to be saved to trust you today. And I pray that you'll strengthen Christians. And Father, help us to realize what we have in our wonderful salvation that you provided. How thankful we are for what you did for us. So bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.